This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. We're off and running. What are the Cowboys saying as they sit at 6-7 and make their way towards the Rams game? We have Witten. We have Zeke. How do you feel about their assessment of what time it is around Cowboys Nation? Plus, we got to get into the big Rangers stories of the day. We're going to take your Rangers phone calls coming up at 6:20 because I know y'all want to vent. But we'll get you with everything you need to know about Chris Bryant. That made news today. JD talking about what the Rangers are hoping to do now with the third base spot as well. But Jason Witten here on the Cowboys and how things have gone. There's no magic formula to right all the Cowboys' wrongs. But Witten says, you can't confuse losing with fight. You can't confuse losing with not good leadership. You can't confuse those things. When you win, there's great chemistry. When you lose, it's in disarray. You have to play better. There's critical moments in the game that you have to play better. And I would, you know, be willing to listen to some of that, but it also sounds like more excuse making. It really does. And I think at times like this, when a team is under heavy fire, it's tempting to try to make it seem like, oh no, you guys on the outside got it wrong. But you know something, Jason Witten? I know you've been around in football for a long time.
Oh, here he goes again. He's going after Witt again.
No, I'm not going to go around Witt. I'm going to go after all the players.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You guys think you know everything because you showed up here and you're like, man, I'm professional and I make millions of dollars. Well, guess what? We're not idiots. We've been watching football for a long time. And maybe, just maybe, one of us has a single hot damn clue when they're actually watching a team that's not good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, you guys on the outside, you got it wrong. You know, you're confusing this with that. No, no, we're watching you be pathetic, okay? And we have credibility. We've been paying attention to sports for a long time. Most of us have been on the radio for a long, long time, being accountable listeners, being accountable to bosses, stockholders. We have to come up with good stuff to say, all right? So you can't just go with this, oh, well, you know, the outsiders, they don't know. They think we're in disarray, but we're trying our hardest. No, you're damn not. You just miss more tackles in a game than any team at any point this season, okay?
But and they were close. When the game started, they were tied. And early on, they were up 7-0. Can you ask any more, Gavin?
Yeah, yeah. When you guys used to fire off the ball, you would knock people's D's in the dirt. They'd be like, holy crap, the Cowboys just hit us. We had 9 guys at the line of scrimmage. They still got 12 yards. Now it's the other way around. They look like ninjas chopping your fat asses down, okay? No. You, when you were young, Witten, you were a good blocker. Now it's you're way below average. Yeah. Somehow still the best guy on the team, so they keep giving you chances.
Not that I'm watching a lot of Dolphins football, but when I've watched the Dolphins play, they try hard. The Cowboys are way more talented. So, Jason Witten, we watch other football games. There are teams that are worse than you, that have worse records than the Cowboys. They try harder than you guys. You guys sleepwalk. You can't fool me, and you can't fool Gavin and a lot of other Cowboy fans watching this season and say that you guys are giving it your all. It's just ending up being a loss. You guys aren't giving it your all. You're sleepwalking through some of the game. And then against bad teams like the New York Giants, all of a sudden you wake up and you win the game by double digits. And we try to talk about, like, hey, in the end, the whole 60 minutes, they kicked butt. Boy. But that first half, when they were up 13-12, how we were up 13-12 playing that bad of football, sleepwalking through that half. Thank God we were playing that bad of a team to actually be up at halftime playing like that. And when you guys play a good team and you sleepwalk, you guys are down by 20 points and it's too late to try to come back.
Somebody, anybody up there, cut through the denial, okay? That's what the entire team has been in for the majority of the season. You can't get better while you're not acknowledging your problems. Zeke was asked if focus goes up a level with the Eagles now tied with them atop the East. He said the focus should already be at an all-time high.
Did Witten, to end that, say you can also go to Albertsons and get 10% off?
No.
Because that's what the Cowboys seem to do right now.
After
everything they do, they're like, all right, now, do you guys know that I also represent these products?
Tank would like you to vote for him to the Pro Bowl today. So would Jalen. And Dak wants you to get sunglasses at 7-Eleven. That's where we are.
Zeke says there shouldn't be a next level that we can get focused to. We're 6-7. We're definitely not comfortable there. I like that. That's good stuff from Zeke. Like, Zeke is showing the best leadership this week. It was about 6 weeks ago when he said, well, you know, it's the NFL. You can't win every game, so we're fine. That was bad leadership. This is you know, I think saying the right things. He also said he doesn't care about hitting 1,000 yards, and he says, you know, win ball games. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. I really don't care about that number. Who cares if you rush for 2,000 and you don't even make the playoffs? I like that kind of stuff from Ezekiel Elliott. I do think you can say that if you're the star. Obviously, stats do matter to some extent. If you don't have any stats, you won't be on the football team anymore, so they matter. But that's what a leader's supposed to say.
Yeah. And Cowboys, you want me to be positive? Zeke has ran the ball much better the last 2 weeks. He's bouncing off some tackles and keeping his balance and running for bigger gains. So I'm not saying he's back to old Zeke that we saw his rookie year, but he's been the best Zeke we've seen all year the last two games. And they've gotten blown out the last two games. But Zeke has actually ran his best in this season the last two games.
And then the defense died.
That's
kind of where the team is right now.
Yeah, it's tough to get it all on the same page, working at the same time. I know exactly what that is, you know, coaching those 8-year-old girls out there.
Oh, yeah, same thing.
Trying to get them all to hit their peak on the same Saturday morning.
It's tough. You got leaders on the team, though? Got some good leaders?
No.
It's a no.
You know, sometimes. I think there is a couple, actually. Okay, we are 3 hours from Mavericks basketball now. They're in Mexico City to take on the Pistons. Mavs are third in the West, and we're getting close now to a third of the way through the year. Are you buying that the Mavs will finish with home court?
Ooh.
That's going to be tough because I feel like both LA teams are going to get it. So that takes up two of the spots. I believe Houston in the end will be a 3 or 4 seed.
It's you and the Nuggets.
I'll say no. I'll buy 5 seed. I'll buy just outside of home court advantage. But look, I bought that they would be just outside of the playoffs. I'm buying, look, they're in the playoffs. Right now, if you made me bet, I will bet they'll have the fifth spot.
Yeah, hey, 3, 4, 5 is outstanding. Man, that's just incredible to be talking about, like, 5's the, you know, maybe the low end. And hey, they could get hurt. They could go on a slump. But I just think they're high end, they're top end. I watched Denver closely last year. It's better than what the Nuggets can put out there. And, you know, I here's the thing with a young team that hasn't proven anything. They're going to be hungry every week, every month. They're hungry to prove themselves. Where some of these other teams, once they realize we're not going to have the top seed, they might coast, they might load manage a little bit more than a young team.
I will say, if the Mavericks can get as hungry as Jokic was this offseason, because that dude was eating the heck out of food. He looks like... You know how, like, it's tough to breathe in Denver because of the altitude? It looks like he's going to die at some points in the game. He got so fat and out of shape. He's still a really good player, but I'm, like, looking at him going, this looks like a man at the YMCA who hasn't played in 3 months and is trying his hardest to get up and down the court without dying of lack of oxygen. He's still really good. But, the one thing about Denver is I wonder if he can play himself. Shaq would do this all the time. Play himself into shape to be a top 10 player in the NBA come playoff time, because I don't mind playing Denver come playoff time if Jokic is going to be that out of shape. I just think he'll probably be able to get himself in shape come playoff time.
Well, I'm looking forward to tonight's game for lots of reasons. The Mavs players, 3 of whom can speak Spanish, interacting with the crowd, maybe becoming fans' favorites a little bit. Obviously, the Pistons have a couple of players we wouldn't mind trading for either in Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. And it tips off at 8 o'clock.
The other thing, too, is from what I understand, the Mavericks can this offseason create cap space to maybe go get a guy, except there's not really guys to get. Andre Drummond, what he's doing, he's led the NBA in rebounds 4 out of the last 5 years. He can opt out of his $28.5 million next year, and I bet he does because of the lack of market, so he'll be the number one guy. I just wonder, a guy who's going to get you 15-15 or maybe even a hair better playing with Luka, if that's the guy to add to the team, or do you wait? Do you say, no, I don't want to add him. I'm going to wait the next offseason because I believe the Greek Freak or somebody like that will actually join our team.
Oh, man, what a great decision to be made, right? I think if you can get a guy like Greek Freak to come, you can make things happen, right?
Yeah.
With your other assets.
That's where I'm at. Get Andre Drummond at 26, 27 years old, manning the middle, athletic guy. Because if
stays healthy, too.
If Dwight Powell can do the things he's doing with Luka, what can a real all-star do in pick-and-roll situations with him?
Okay, so baseball stuff, if you missed it earlier at the winter meetings, John Daniels basically said they won't be trading for Chris Bryant. He said trading for a guy with 1 or 2 years of control left just doesn't make sense. He also said their interests aren't necessarily reflected in the media report. So it's interesting how now that the disappointment hits, he's very interested in coming out and being like, yeah, the media, they don't have anything right.
Where did the media get their reports from, I wonder?
I don't know. You know, maybe the agents are sending the story. Agents. And the GM's just sitting there watching it going,
Rangers were going to sit there and go, hey, call up Bob Nightingale and tell him we're not interested in the big-time free agents. I mean, it created a great buzz for 5 to 7 days here.
So what you do if you're JD in that situation, when your local beat writers text you to confirm it, you just don't say anything back.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if the Rangers really like Chris Bryant, if they'll offer him $100 million when he becomes a free agent. Not a year, just like
4 years.
7 years, $100 million. Something like that.
We made him an offer. We can't believe he said no.
So Rendon.
Why are people calling him the front runner, though? Like with Rendon, it was national guys.
I think it was a joke.
Who sold him that bill of goods?
I think it was Rendon's agent. Like, no, I guess the Rangers are the favorite because they're the only team that had met with them at that point, right? They're the only team that had met with them and given an offer. So 6 years and 200. Was technically the favorite.
Okay. All right.
Before we take any offers, they are the favorite. We will not accept that offer ever.
Yeah.
But they are the front runners right now because they have the offer on the table.
So Rangers and Mariners battling it out for fourth or
we'll
the
be
Angels?
We'll be better than the Mariners.
Okay.
But
better than the Angels?
Right now, it'll be close, but I bet the Angels add pitching to their team. To put them better, because you don't go get Anthony Rendon, give him all that money, and then go, yeah, you know what, we're done. I mean, I think that they're going to now overspend, but if it works, it works. They're going to go get a guy like Dallas Keuchel or Madison Bumgarner or Ryu or somebody to put along with their rotation and try to build up a good enough team that they believe that they can win 90 games and kind of steal this division away from Houston and Oakland, and they have to feel good about Houston dropping down, because you might have looked at it if they would have re-signed Garrett Cole and go, oh, man, do we really want to get Ryu? I mean, do we really want to go get Rendon? Because can we really catch Houston anytime soon? But now you strike like that, and then Garrett Cole's gone. You say, hey, we maybe have an opportunity here quickly to strike.
Strike fast, strike hard.
No mercy, sir.
That's what I say.
Okay. So it is really fun, I think, to see the fans turn on the front office and the ownership to this extent.
On two different sports teams?
Yeah. Yeah, but the Ranger fan seems more patient, right? Year after year after year, we have little peaks where they're frustrated, but this seems to be different. And hopefully we're at the beginning of creating some standards here from the fans' perspective. If you're going to get the free stadium and all of our cable money, let's start giving back a little, guys.
It's not Jared Sandler or T.R. Sullivan or Evan Grant. I mean, those are just names that come to mind. It's not their fault. But it was built up over the last 3 to 5 months that because of a new stadium, the Rangers are going to spend. They didn't make it up. Those people, and I'm talking about Sandler's our guy and TR and Evan Grant aren't our guys, but we know them well. They talked to front office people with the Rangers that convinced them that they were going to be big time players in the 2019 market to add to the 2020 team. The Rangers just look like they're not going to be players in the market. So it makes us as a fan go, wait, it was built up for a long time that we were going to do something special. And as we got to the winter meetings, it was built up as we are the team by Bob Nightingale, who's USA Today's main writer in baseball, and other people followed suit and said, yeah, we think the Rangers are going to be big time. So the Rangers, if that wasn't the case and never was the case, they should have shut that down in a hurry, because that's why Ranger fans are upset. And then the other reason that I think it backs off quick with Ranger fans is they're the Texas Rangers. They're not the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox. For the Cowboys, if they get upset that we get upset, yeah, you know what? Your history, which all of you that are there, and Jerry Jones is part of the great history. I will. Most everybody there that's a player and coach, you're not part of doodly squat when it comes to the good stuff.
Yeah.
You're here for the worst stuff ever for one of the greatest football franchises.
So do you think the Rangers have $200 million over 6 years that they're looking to spend in some other way and in a trade or no. Next year? Or
maybe next year. As yep. I mean, I was teasing about yes. Chris Bryant, next but year. Maybe Chris Bryant, you know, 2 years from. I will say this. I think it's getting to the point, though. Here's where the Rangers, you have to be honest with yourself. If you want a franchise-changing player, like 2 years from now, Francisco Lindor, he's going to get $40 million a year. If the Rangers were scared to get to certain numbers with Rendon 2 years from now, I bet they're scared to go to $40 million a year to a player. But that's where it's going to go. It's just the way it'll be. Francisco Lindor is going to get 10 years and $400 million. Are the Rangers willing to do that? Because that's going to be overpaying, but that's what he's going to get. Somebody's going to overpay Lindor that much money to be the face of the franchise and the leader. Chris Bryant is a little bit older when he hits the market, but he's going to get eight. He'll probably get one more extra year at $36, $37 million a year. I mean, if the Rangers really want to be a player, the next couple of years, you're going to have to get closer to $40 million with the stars that are going to hit the market.
Okay, it will be interesting. The Cowboys injury report would be the other thing we usually check during the season at this time. I haven't seen one. I think the best thought on this, though, it probably doesn't matter who's available when you have negative momentum rolling this strong and the opponent is better. It's very, very difficult to shake yourself and pop up out of a thing like this. You probably need an inferior opponent, which you get week 16 and week 17 to helpfully rebuild some momentum. And then you can get to start feeling. And that feeling, it's important in football. You know, it's so amazing how a team can have two different trajectories, you know, based on just what has happened recently. And you get a couple of wins, you start feeling better. And all of a sudden, you know, that confidence and optimism comes back. And I think that can be really, really important. But going into this game, I don't care. They're healthy. Big deal, you know. And then next week, the Eagles are so beat up. If you missed the story today, that might be the biggest thing going with the Cowboys. Alshon Jeffrey officially out. You know, if you have any chance of the Eagles putting up big points, it's got to be with Jeffrey being healthy. But he's got a foot injury, might require surgery, and he is looking at a very long-term recovery. So they're just hoping he's okay for training camp at this point.
I'll just tell you guys tomorrow, I'm going to be looking at Redskins and Moneyline numbers if anybody wants to take it.
Oh, yeah, I'm all up in there.
That'll be fun. Okay, what does history say about teams that get in the tournament in the kind of shape the Cowboys would be in? It's next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. What's history have to say about teams that get in the tournament like the Cowboys are attempting to do? Kind of struggling. But getting in there, right? 9-7 type clubs. We remember the Giants and
9-7 Super Bowl champs, right?
That's Jerry Jones' dream scenario there, those 2007 Giants. What does history say about the probabilities of that repeating itself? Segment is brought to you by Sewell Automotive. It's brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to frankelfirm.com. Our buddy John Mishota, he did a great job on this in The Athletic. He looked at the 2007 Giants. He compared them to the Cowboys and said, okay, is this comparing apples and apples? Because this is what Jerry's hoping for. Mishota points out there are some differences. Number one, that 2007 Giants team, it did win 10 games.
Okay. I thought it was 9. Okay.
The Cowboys team can only win 9, you know, maybe 8. Probably 9, but no, 8. They'll win 8-8, right?
Yeah.
Most likely. I think they lose, win, and then a really tough game against the best team in the division at the end, the Washington Redskins.
Win a nail-biter.
Oh, you son of a biscuit.
That Giants team ran the ball incredibly well. They were at 135 points per game, good for top five numbers in the NFL, and the Cowboys are outside the top 10. And that team had 4 pass rushers combined for 40 sacks. The Cowboys' top 4 guys right now have a total of 22 sacks. So there are some, you know, differences.
And that was kind of what did it for them, is they got on a run where I believe Eli played fairly well in that postseason run, but a big part of it was that pass rush. And in the Super Bowl, the thing that stopped Tom Brady was that pass rush. So
as it has many times.
Is this team going to suddenly have, I know you got two guys, but that was what, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan, O.C. Umenyiora, Matthias Kiwanuka. They had four.
Yeah.
And
they put them all out there in passing situations.
And they were all tough. I don't think you're them.
Maybe
you got a better quarterback than they did.
Quinn, Bennett, Tank, Collins. You could, if this group woke up. Tank says, I need to start playing better. I liked that quote. Pretty good leadership from Tank this week.
I like that quote too. And I'm going to tell you why I like that quote. Because he lied to us when he said it.
All right.
But that's the first guy that I think what a lot of fans are looking for is for people to take ownership, take too much ownership. That's what great leaders do. And so DeMarcus Lawrence, he says, I need to play better. And people tell me all the time, oh, he's only got five sacks. Tank's been great this year. He's been great. You'd love for him to have two or three more sacks to show for it, but he's been a great player. He's been the best player on that defense easily. But for him to be the guy that's like, hey, it's me. I'm the leader of this team and I've got to play better. Good. That's A-plus leadership because it's not true. He's playing great. Other people need to play better, but he's owning it.
Yeah. To your point of the 2011 Giants, they won three out of the last four.
This is 2007 Giants, right?
Oh, 2000. Yeah. Okay, well, the
2011 are pretty similar to it.
They went 9-7. They actually did win the Super Bowl going 9-7, but they won 24-2 in the wild card round.
Oh, a two.
And then they won 37-20. At Green Bay, then they won 20-17 in overtime at San Francisco, then beat New England 21-17. But you were right. Manning got hot for his numbers always being low. He went 277, 330, 316, and 296. And those are very high numbers for Eli Manning in passing yards per game.
So other than the Giants, 11 teams with records of 9-7 or worse have won at least one playoff game. In 2008, the Eagles got in at 9-6-1. They made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
It would. Yes, it would.
It's got to be Super
great
Bowl.
To get to the NFC title game. It would.
I don't know. Mike, the Cowboys are getting ready to play in the NFC title game here in, a month and a half. Would you be disappointed? Because I think now we're not going to win at all still, and Garrett's staying.
But at this point, you've already won two playoff games.
I guess it'll matter.
And there's two left.
If you went and you beat, let's just say,
it would be Seattle and then San Francisco.
If you did it and they were somewhat healthy, as in the quarterback did, because if we hit Jimmy Garoppolo on the first play and Garoppolo's out and now we beat their backup quarterback, we would make it to the NFC Championship game. And then I'd be like, we made it. And I'd be all excited about possibly going to the Super Bowl for the first time in a lot of people's lives that are Cowboy fans. You'd get to watch them try to go to the Super Bowl. But then if they lost 30-10 against New Orleans, let's just say, it's a close game because the New Orleans game's always close. And then we sign Garrett to a 3-5 year extension. I'm going to be like, oh no.
Yeah.
So I'm to the point where I just want Garrett change. And I know it won't possibly change everything, but I just want Garrett out.
Well, there was a tremendous flurry of teams winning from these situations in 2008. The 9-7 Cardinals went and lost the Super Bowl to the Steelers. We all remember that game. In 2009, the 9-7 Jets lost in the AFC title game. In 2009, the Ravens lost in the divisional round, so they won a playoff game. In 2010, the 7-9 Sea Chickens lost in the divisional round. So that was the glory days for the bad division winners. Since then, 2011, Broncos 8-8 lost divisional round. Won a game. 2013, Chargers 9-7, lost divisional round. Broncos, yes, in 2011, that was Teebs.
He threw a slant, remember?
Yeah.
He threw a slant to Demaryius Thomas.
In 2014, the 7-8-1 Panthers lost in the divisional round, won a game. 9-7, Texans lost in the divisional round in 2016. 9-7, Titans lost in the divisional round. And then 9-7 Eagles lost in the divisional round. So the history says
they win every wild card game?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you win your home game, I guess. How about that?
There's been a lot of winning of the first round and then a lot of going out in the divisional round since 2011. So the idea that this is super doable and you're going to go on a run to the conference championship game, it's kind of just a situation that happened between 2008 and 2011.
Okay, but the odds do say whoever wins, Philadelphia or Dallas, they're going to win their wild card game and then lose the divisional game.
Yeah, and I could totally see that. If it's Seattle, I mean, I know we talked about Seattle a few weeks back, like, you know, maybe they were really getting it together, but after that, they had the loss to the Rams, and that made everybody do a really hardcore evaluation of the kind of football they've been playing, and it's been a lot of good luck. And maybe you call that clutch because you got Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and, you know, championship pedigree and everything, but over time, you don't win one-score games nearly at the pace they've been pulling it off.
Do you think the Cowboys, when they back into the playoffs in the first-round game, I could see, if it's the Seahawks, both teams go, because it's the way they play. The Seahawks still play this way, and the Cowboys a year ago played this way more than they do now, but they still kind of do. They both want a close game.
Yeah.
They don't want to make a mistake. Zeke could have 35 carries.
And, 80 yards.
Chris Carson could have 32 carries for 80 yards, and they just do like a spin around the 50-yard line, and it's a 6-3 game.
Something like that? Yeah. I was
thinking,
like,
if Garrett gets to the postseason, he's going full Garrett, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, guys, this is it. I got to win. Mm-hmm. We can't turn the ball over. Like, we can't do that. That ends the game.
Here's the deal. Let's keep it close until the fourth quarter.
I do think if the Cowboys play well in the playoffs, and I'm not saying win the Super Bowl, but if they play well, they'd have to win the wild card game, that Jerry Jones is going to have a change of mind on changing the coach. And maybe he still is convinced to change. But I think he could look at that wild card win and look at the divisional game, and let's just say a play with 3 minutes to go doesn't go their way and they lose the game. I think Jerry's going to be in that room with all the other people, Steven and Will McClay and all the other decision makers, and he's the ultimate decision, is say, guys, I think we should keep Jason Garrett. Convince me why we shouldn't.
Oh. I could see it going that way, and that's why earlier this week I thought, you know, it was a really good point that it's too close to fool with. So if you want to root against the Cowboys because of what Mike just said, Jerry just needs a sliver of an opportunity to extend him. Uh-huh. And maybe it's not a 5-year extension, but maybe it's a 2-year deal or something like that, and you get more of this next year. Okay, now the real question is, if they win that wild card game, that would probably be 3 wins in a row. Would you be able to stop yourself from a prediction? Would you be able to turn down the momentum? And because a lot of people would say, man, they figured it out late. They struggled all year. That'd be the headlines from the brown nose and beat writers.
No, because they'll be heading to New Orleans or San Francisco, and nobody will be able to pick
them. I think Gavin and you will both pick the Cowboys to win if they beat Philadelphia, Washington, and Seattle. I think you guys will ride the wave say they're going to do it.
Listen,
they're talented enough. It's Garoppolo.
He doesn't have any experience.
Game.
You know it, Mike.
Yeah.
you know the deal.
The center's out. The center is out for the year, so he was a major part, and he's not there anymore. We're more healthy than they are. Sherman hasn't played a regular season game, and neither has Dee Ford in a month.
Nope. Yeah.
They're
going to
be
optimism.
Rusty. Nope. The Cowboys are going to go to San Francisco and do it.
No,
and
the you Saints, broke my spirit. No.
The Saints have only scored like 22 points combined the last two times.
We lost 12-10, and we beat them 13-10. It's a coin flip when you play the New Orleans Saints.
It's not happening.
We own them.
It's not happening. You broke my spirit for this. I'm not picking them to win anything.
Okay, well, you are going to have to lead a segment, so get your spirit together.
Oh, okay. Coach, my favorite Coach O story just broke today. That's next. Yes.
Well, thanks, Lucius. Here's Jeff.
All right. Got a Coach O story for you. Coach Ed Orgeron at LSU. The story broke today. Breaking. Huge breaking news. Because we have like 9 years until they actually play a playoff game, because there's 4 teams, and they have to wait until New Year's. So everybody
just... Oh, what'd you say there, boy?
I think it's December 28th, right?
I don't know. It's a long time. I promise, by the time that it's really close, I'll tell you when it is. It's not tomorrow or the next day or next weekend. But I saw a great Coach O story. Joe Burrow told it, his current quarterback. So I guess Joe Burrow was going on recruiting trips when he decided he was going to transfer from Ohio State. And he obviously went on one to LSU. And Coach O took him to some seafood joint. Probably not the classiest joint. Which I wonder, Mike, when you went on recruiting trips, did they try to take you to nice places, or did they appreciate the fact that you're like 17, 18 years old and be like, hey, we're going to go to the bar restaurant on the corner?
Yeah, it wasn't super nice, but it wasn't super bad. I remember like Texas A&M, it was a barbecue place.
Okay, so they did it right.
Tulane was like a seafood place.
Okay.
But I can't tell you, like, it wasn't super fancy, because they knew that most of their recruits would be wearing jeans and tennis shoes and like a collared polo.
Right. So I would have hated that visit. I would have been intimidated by the restaurant and been like, all right, I'm not going there. That creeped me out.
Coach O looks like he's been on a seafood diet for a while.
What are you trying to say? Seafood, eat food?
Yeah.
Is that, bad, is bad that joke? The joke yeah. you're making?
Got it.
So Joe Burrow says during his recruitment, he goes to dinner with Ed Orgeron. They get to the restaurant, and Joe orders his food, and Coach O says, if anybody can do Coach O accent, he says, I would like some crawfish. Anybody?
I'd like some crawfish.
Okay, so he says that.
I'd like some crawfish.
And the waiter.
What a glorious accent. French and Southern U.S. Mash that baby up.
Waiter slash waitress says,
I really like that lemonade night too.
We don't do crawfish here.
Oh, what? So but you said it was seafood.
So Coach O, you guys are up again, says, can I see the manager?
I'll see the manager.
Okay, so I go, Mike, you want to try?
I only that guy who runs play, man. I want to go eat him home.
Okay, I don't know what that last part was, but I did get the first part, the guy that runs the place. So they go get the manager, and the manager comes over, and we don't get all the details, but I guess he says, hi, I'm Coach O, and this is Joe Burrow, and we're trying to get him to come to LSU, and I want crawfish, and you don't have any, so can you go get some crawfish?
It would really help make an impression on Joe Burrow.
Yes, so guys, go ahead, do that whole part there.
I need some crawfish. I don't want you got any tartar sauce and red sauce and a cocktail.
I didn't say anything about the sauces. The restaurant manager leaves, comes back with 15 pounds of crawfish for Coach O. Just made a special trip. So, congratulations.
That's respect right there.
And that's probably when Joe Burrow knew. He was like, you know what? That's a power move.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy I want to play for.
So, I'm not a crawfish fan. It's not that I don't like it. I just think it's too hard.
Too much work for too little food.
Does anybody like crawfish over just shrimp? Like, to me, shrimp is way better than crawfish, but maybe I'm way off. Maybe the people that are crawfish boil people are like, no, crawfish are way better than shrimp.
I'll take shrimp over crawfish. Not by a lot. Well, no, I'll take crawfish. I had to think it over. I would take crawfish over shrimp.
It's not a superior meat by itself, but the way it's prepared.
Yeah.
The whole experience.
And the fact that if you're eating crawfish, it probably means you've had a sweet little gathering. And you got, because like in my case, if I'm eating crawfish, it's either Mudbug Bash or Broadus has made crawfish somewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole event, and you're dumping them on the table, and somebody's got the water hose where you're wetting down the crawfish to keep them ready before you murder them all. And listen to their screams of agony as they go into the...
Oh, it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, is anybody listening to this segment? Text in at 877-881-1053.
Shrimp over crawfish all day. I just got to put
that
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got to say that.
Here we go. Now they're coming in.
Yeah, I think most would go that direction.
I like crawfish etouffee, though. Oh, yeah, it's really good, boy. That's some good eating right there.
Okay. Now, that is, of course, the Ed O that we can actually understand here in the Pimp Cup, which is great. But, yeah. I like the crawfish. The shrimp, because the thing that I guess I don't think most people understand about the shrimp is the way that you get it, if you're at a restaurant, if you were to prepare it yourself, it's not that easy either.
Shrimp fries?
You have to peel it and devein it and detail it, and you got to do all that.
I don't know. I've definitely been to some shrimp fries where people like cook a whole bunch of shrimp and everybody eats it just like crawfish.
Yeah.
But I've never prepared it, so I don't know what goes into it.
I guess, yeah, because like, I won't do that either. If I go to the store, I say, a pound and a half of the peeled and deveined, please. I'm not here for the work. I'm here for the shrimp.
Yeah.
So that's that story. And another news, this one went viral on the internet, and I think it goes with crawfish and with this story. Somebody tweeted out a picture of a bunch of the chicken wings, the little drumsticks.
The party wings,
the little drumsticks. And there's one that just has like one bite taken out of one side of it. Right, and it's set down there on a plate, and underneath it is the number one. And then there's one that's the number two, where there's still like a little chunk left, a main chunk kind of left. And then number three is like how it would look when I'm done, which is I've eaten all of the middle, but I'm not exactly going down to the ends to be like,
you're getting
got
that gristle, man.
Right, and then number four is almost all gristle gone, and then five is nothing but the bone
that's
left, right?
That's how you eat a piece of chicken.
Right. So I bring this up because this is my anti-bullying campaign. There's two things.
I'm a four guy myself.
You're a four?
Yeah.
See, I'm between.
I'll get almost everything.
I'm between a three and a four. Mike's going to come take a peek. Maybe I'll see if I can retweet this thing.
But now, if I get the perfect amount of smoke and you can sort of taste that smoke still on the bone, I might become a five. with that match.
Okay, you take everything. It'll be just bone. Yeah. No skin, no nothing. Yeah. Mike's a four.
I'll put it in like a dip and just let all the smoke. Just
okay, see, I feel like if you're a three or less, because I think I went to Twin Peaks once and I enjoyed the wings and I ate the wings and take a picture like, all right, had a great time. That was wonderful. And when I tell you, I was bullied.
You were being disrespectful to the wings. Eat the darn wings. Eat your food.
I was bullied online for like, oh, you did it. Yeah. I'm here to call an end to food shaming. On when I eat crawfish, I don't suck the head.
No.
And when I eat chicken wings, yes, there will be a little bit of skin and maybe some meat left. Leave me alone.
Where do you think the phrase came from? There's a lot of meat left on that bone. You have to finish that bone, my man.
I do.
Shoot, we even crack open the bone sometimes to get that marrow out. How about that?
No, you do not.
What?
When's the last time you did that?
It's been a while, but I've done it. Okay. Especially when the chicken is fried at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that.
Oh, fried chicken at home is so good. I'm not smart enough to do it, but oh, God, it's so good. Yeah, I'm just here to call an end to the food shamers. You don't have to suck the head, and you don't have to eat every last bit of chicken. And if you drink
Tovash will shame you in a second on that.
I'm not buying you no chicken wings if you do that.
Well,
that's a fact. I want my money back.
And if you
I'll do it right there at the table. Hold on, he got his.
I'll ask you like, okay,
Jeff
how much
use a fork?
Huh?
You seen Jeff use a fork?
Oh yeah, I did see him use a fork.
By the way, now's a
good
time.
Shovel. Mike is bullying right now in this climate. He is utensil bullying.
Mrs. Kavanaugh, text in to 877-881-1053. Why didn't you teach your son how to use a fork?
What did you do?
She always texts my phone. She says, there's nothing wrong, son, with the way you use that fork. I have excellent fork control. When you get your thumb all the way down to the tongs, you have excellent fork
control. That's honestly the only thing he does. He gets he puts his thumb all the way on the fork, except for the point where there's the pokey part.
Yeah, then he's got gravy and everything else on his fingers.
Then he licks his
fingers. I lick my fingers. I don't use.
Gross! Mom didn't teach him how to use a napkin, how to use utensils.
They're like the modern day Beverly Hillbillies. They're the Allen Hillbillies.
Did you see the mansion sold?
No.
The one from the credits of the Beverly Hillbillies?
No way.
Sold for I believe it set a new record for California.
Oh, wow.
$150 million.
Wow.
Yeah, the most expensive estate ever sold.
It's that cement pond in the background.
Beverly Hillbillies. Apparently the Reagans used to live in a shed out back or something.
Wow.
Impressive. So congrats to them. And also, I want to put out another PSA, the drink shaming. If I order something foo-foo, which is rare these days.
Y'all are good at drink shaming. Facts.
Yeah.
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 Facts.
I used to get always drink shamed for having a beer at a really nice restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, but that's what I want to drink.
Right. And then you make me feel insecure because
I'm sitting there. Do you get a Stella? Look, I'm drink shaming.
I would order a bottle of Miller Lite. Like we went to the TMS trip and we're at a really nice restaurant and they're like, oh yes, let's get a
nice restaurant. You get a nice beer.
Yeah. Right. I was like, right, let me get a Miller Lite bottle, please. And
I remember that trip. I was like, yeah, let's get some wine and some beers.
Yeah, they're like, do you want us to bring you a glass for it? And I'm like, no, the bottle's fine.
Oh, what's the drink that has no calories?
What, the Trulies?
No. It still has alcohol in it.
White Claw?
No calories.
Chris.
The gomblets?
No, yeah, vodka gimlets.
Gimlets.
Gimlet. Just because it doesn't have calories.
Ooh, that will smack you off the face of this earth.
Can't even taste it. Yeah, we can tell, Chris.
Speaking of Balcones, make sure you swing by tomorrow. We're going to be doing the show live from right here, 4131 North Central Expressway, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. K&C will do the live show. We'll do our show. And you can be there. It's on the first floor right here in the performance showroom. We're doing giveaways every hour. One of them is a big green freaking egg.
Yeah, 2 o'clock Balcones,
hour. The master distiller is going to be there. I believe we'll be doing maybe a little tasting.
What, if Nancy wants to come by with some more rum cakes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
I never got my cake, by the way. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, acting surprised, Mike.
I didn't take
you
it.
Did?
Oh, you didn't have it?
No, it was right there.
Will cream on the side of his face. Wait, you didn't?
No.
Will was like, I'll take it back. Yeah, and it was
Will said he's going to take it to you.
Yeah. When you get to the station in 45 minutes, Lucius is not going to be sitting upstairs like, I'm just here waiting for my rum cake. Yeah. I'm sure somebody ate it.
I'm going to go walk in the kitchen and see if he put it in the kitchen.
Turn up, Mike.
I'm going to eat it.
This segment's not over, Mike. You're not allowed to leave yet.
You don't need me.
Finally, authorities in North Carolina seized around $3 million.
What city of North Carolina?
Let me see if I can find that. I bet we can find that. Cleveland County?
I don't know where that is.
All right, well.
I only know cities.
Do your research. Close to
Ohio. Near the Tobacco Road.
Authorities seized around $3 million worth of drug money this weekend. It was stashed inside barrels with raw pork shoulders. officials said.
Okay.
That's,
keep you out of there.
My problem here is, so they pulled over a tractor trailer, okay? They pull over the tractor trailer. Driver was stopped for failing to stay in his lane. Canine unit prompted him to move the vehicle to a safe location and search it. The millions were believed to have come from drug sales throughout the region. The Department of Justice is helping in the investigation. There's nothing in here about finding drugs.
Somebody snitched.
There's a canine that can detect money. Yeah. A money detecting canine?
The cocaine on the money.
What if these fine people just don't trust the modern banking system?
Yeah.
And that's how they keep their money.
Like James Brown.
If I have $3 million in my car, it doesn't mean that it was ill-gotten gains.
Right.
I work hard.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, if you ever see me in public, I promise you, I have $400K in the trunk. I don't trust banks. If I got pulled over, would I get arrested? Would I get arrested because I have $400,000?
I don't think you can have more than 10 grand on you.
I keep it right
especially
there.
While traveling.
Yeah, I keep it right there on the dash so that people see it. Yeah,
I've never seen Joe Burrow with his helmet off doing an interview. He's doing one right now.
Made an impression on
me. Doesn't look like a leader?
No.
You don't want to pick him anymore?
He looks weird.
Kind of looks like Joe Dirt.
Arnold looks weird.
He has a huge forehead. He
like Peyton Manning in there?
He's doing way too much with his hair.
There he is.
Oh, yeah. He's got football head. Look how big that head is. That forehead.
That is weird. He should probably take that hair down about an inch and a half.
It's full of plays and stuff in there, Mike.
Take some of that down there.
Luka doesn't look that badass either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe you're right, because that's why people are like, whatever. And I'm like, but he's really good.
Okay, when we come back, we'll take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com. And Jeff wrote a story about the most important pending free agent for the Cowboys. It's next in the Nation.